Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Zolak and Bertrand, Tim McCone, Joe Haggerty in for the guys today, the day after Christmas. Matt McCarthy on Hub Headlines. And since it is the day after Christmas, it's time to start returning some of the gifts that you don't necessarily want right now. And we've been doing that throughout the show. Returning some of the moments, trades, or signings in the 2018 season that haven't exactly gone well for Boston teams. Really, there's not a lot to complain about because all four teams had relatively successful seasons last year, but still, nonetheless, there were plenty of moves that I think you could second guess or want back. So, Hags, we got your first one. Earlier in the show, you mentioned, obviously, the Rick Nash trade not going the way that the Bruins wanted. McCarthy, you returned Felger's hot take.
No, I returned Felger himself to Milwaukee.
All of Felger? All right, yeah. That's good. For his Kyrie Irving take, which certainly didn't look great yesterday as Kyrie goes for 40 against the 76ers and pretty much single-handedly brings the Celtics to victory. And I returned, obviously, the Malcolm Butler decision in the Super Bowl. Hey, maybe play your best corner in the Super Bowl with a title on the line there. But we'll go around the room one more time, get another take in terms of something you would return from the 2018 season. McCarthy, I'll start with you. What else do you got?
I would return every crap bag receiver that the Patriots have brought in this year to replace Danny Amendola, who they did not want to pay, to replace Brandon Cooks, who they did not want to pay. So I will return the likes of Kenny Britt and Corey Coleman and KJ May and Amara Darboh and Jordan Matthews and Paul Turner and Devin Lucian and run down the list. And finally, Josh Gordon. The fact that they eventually got to the point where they had to rely on the least reliable player in the NFL tells you everything you need to know about the Patriots' malpractice at the wide receiver position. You got to do better than that. I return every single one of those players and more, all the nameless bums that they have brought in since last February, since last March. I return all of them because none of them have worked.
Jordan Matthews was going to be a stud for the Pats. I got that one wrong.
I thought he was going to be good, but you know what? He got hurt, so you got to have a backup plan. Hasn't that always been their approach? Have as much depth as possible? No, they didn't. They just cheaped out on wide receiver. They brought Josh Gordon in eventually because he was the most talented, cheap option that they could get. They did not want to pay for Demaryius Thomas, who goes down with an Achilles injury, so that wouldn't have worked out. But the only reason why Demaryius Thomas wasn't here is because they didn't want to pay him. How acceptable is that when you've got a 41-year-old quarterback that you're trying to build around?
It is
unacceptable.
As far as Josh Gordon goes, too, I think there's a little bit of we're better and smarter than everybody else, so yeah, we're going to make Josh Gordon work and get with the program here like Cleveland couldn't, and we're going to show them, you know, that he can be straightened out and be an effective player. I think there's a little bit of that arrogance that goes along with bringing in a guy like that, too, in addition to, you know, getting him on the cheap. I think they think they can turn anybody else around and coach them up and get them to believe in the Patriots way and all that good stuff. The one that I would return, I'd almost do a little bit of a reverse here.
Yeah.
I'm going to return all the bad things that I said about David Price over the last couple of years.
True.
And I'm just going to deposit them back in the Christmas
bank. Never happened. Yeah.
Yes, because completely erased them from the record because he went out, performed when it mattered most. The Red Sox won. So that's one where you should be happy maybe that you didn't return David Price like so many people wanted to over the last couple of years. And, you know, there were so many low moments, so many issues that he had. And maybe there probably will be again because I still don't think long term he's the kind of guy that's built for Boston because I think he's a little too sensitive, cares a little bit too much about what people are saying about him. You know, but for that pocket of time in the postseason, he stepped up and he was exactly what they needed him to be. And, you know, credit him for doing that.
It reminded you kind of John Lackey when John Lackey first signs here, absolute disaster to start. And then he goes away for the year, comes back in 2013. And he's everything and more that you could have wanted out of that signing, too. David Price certainly shutting some people up in 2018.
The difference, though, between Price and Lackey, and I know that comparison is made, is Lackey just needed to get healthy.
Yeah.
It was pretty clear that the elbow was a problem. They had that.
He needed to drop some weight and change the way he was, what he was doing off the field, too, though. Like, let's be honest. Lackey needed to straighten a lot of things out in order to become the better player that he was, and a lot of that was, I think, self-induced.
He did. Lackey brought a lot of that upon himself, but there was never any doubt about Price's ability, talent, or really even durability outside of, you know, the second year where he did have the elbow problem, but he's come back strong from that. Over the course of the next 4 years, Hags, yeah, maybe some of those issues pop up again, but I'm not concerned about David Price's ability to start 32 games every year. I mean, he's proven that he's a workhorse over the course of his career. We may have actually turned a corner here with this guy. Now that he's gotten over that mental block, he's gotten over the hump in October, you might see a different guy. Is he still too sensitive for Boston? Absolutely. But he already accomplished what we wanted him to do, right? He's already done that. I'm not sure if he's going to be the punching bag for the next 4 years that he was for the first three.
No, I don't think so. But I also think you don't completely do a 180 on the mental makeup of a player. And I think there are going to be times of struggle, you know, in the future with him, given the amount of money that he's being paid. You don't just pay that guy that amount of money for that long a term a deal to just win one World Series. Yeah. You pay him to be one of the best pitchers in the major leagues, to get you into the playoffs every year, and to be consistently productive year in and year out and lead that staff. Now, has he done that consistently since he's been here? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And maybe he did turn a corner. I think that's going to be real interesting to see what kind of season he has this year, if that was some tipping point for him where all of a sudden he becomes a Boston Red Sox kind of player, a guy that can excel here, maybe block out some of the noise, and felt like he's proven what he needed to prove so he doesn't care anymore about what people are saying on him on social media, on this station, on these shows, whatever. But until he does that over the long term, you know, doing it for a month or two does not prove a lot, except he had a good month or two at the right time. And we'll see if it continues to go on. As Felger and Maz like to say a lot, lightning in a bottle. I know they said that about Tim Thomas when they won the Stanley Cup, the Bruins, that, you know, they caught lightning in a bottle with him for a few months where he carried the team. Until further notice, I still look at the David Price thing as lightning in a bottle a bit. But I never thought he was going to even do that.
No.
So the fact that he did, you know, proved me wrong in a lot of respects over the last couple of years, what I said about him.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Want to hear from you guys, too, on some of the decisions, trades, signings you would return from Boston sports over the 2018 season. I'm also going to open this up to terrible gifts that you might have gotten yesterday as well, because if you got an absolutely atrocious gift, I want to hear about that, too. So 617-779-0985. Yes, exactly, exactly.
Classic dad gift.
For me, I'm going to go back to the Patriots, and I'm going to go to one. Look, it wasn't a huge move, but Danny Shelton and a fifth round pick for a third round pick by the Patriots has certainly not worked out. I mean, I think he was supposed to be the run stuffer that you were hoping to get, and it's turned out that he has not worked out well at all. He was active last week, but he was inactive, a healthy scratch 3 weeks previous to that. That's certainly not. I'll tell you what, bringing in these defensive linemen, whether it's Coney Ealy, Danny Shelton, these trades over the last couple of seasons have not exactly worked out for the Patriots. So Danny Shelton, certainly a big present, but he is one that I would return to the Cleveland Browns.
Tell you what, I mean, you could have spent that third-round pick on Golden Tate. You know, going back to what they did at wide receiver, they had the option to get Demaryius Thomas. They didn't want to spend the money on him. He could have been. They could have had him for a fourth-round pick. For a third-round pick, which you did not have because you spent it on Danny Shelton, you could have had Golden Tate. The reckless use of their draft picks continues to come back and haunt them. You know, these veteran players that they've traded for over the last few years, Bill Belichick had a great run of that probably from 2010 to 14 or 15, acquiring Aqib Talib, acquiring Akeem Hicks. You know, he made a number of good moves. The recent ones have all been disasters. Coney Ealy, Danny Shelton, too. Don't ignore that one. That's a good one, Tim.
No, so, all right, we got Danny Shelton, David Price. What did you go with? What
was everybody yours? In the wide receivers.
Everybody in the wide receiver. That's a lot
everybody.
Of gifts.
Pick your wide receiver.
All right, coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, we'll keep this going as well. Plus, Tom Brady coming out yesterday, talking with his buddy Jim Gray, saying that he is on board for at least the 2019 season.
You going to play next year, Tommy?
And maybe more, but right now.
Please, Tommy.
It is time for our action update. The VSIN action update brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels. The only places in New England you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Inbound to Horford. Chandler will not foul. The clock will hit triple zeros. An instant Christmas classic unfolds in front of us. And the star of the show delivered. Kyrie with the world watching an epic 40-point night as the Celtics win in overtime on Christmas night. The final score, Boston 121, Philadelphia 114.
All right, back here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Joe Haggerty in for Zolak and Bertrand today. And you just heard it, Celtics with a big win over the 76ers on Christmas Day. Kyrie Irving, fairly impressive. 40 points, absolutely taking over down the end of regulation.
I would say extremely
and in overtime.
Impressive.
Yeah, I think so,
superstar-like.
Superstar-like. Dino yes. Raja-like, right?
Something like he didn't that? Pull off the Dino drop step on the baseline like Dino Raja would have in his prime. Until he can do that, he's a little lacking, but I thought he was fantastic otherwise.
You know, he's still in his mid-20s, so give him a little more time, a little more seasoning in the game, and maybe eventually he'll bring that to the table as well. But nonetheless, Kyrie Irving, like you mentioned,
you'd have to smoke like three cartons of cigarettes a day like Dino Raja
exactly.
to really get that rasp going involved
outside of the locker room at halftime. Yeah, just ripping butts. No, I think when you look at that performance right there, it kind of shows you the talent level that Kyrie Irving has. And we talked about it to kind of open up the show, but you look at Irving and certainly you know, that's the big building block moving forward, and you see why in a game like that. There aren't many guys in the NBA that can make shots and create their own shots the way that Kyrie Irving can. And, you know, a few days ago when he said, I can pretty much do anything I want on the court, like, yeah, that's a statement that you roll your eyes at, but then you watch the performance that he had yesterday, and, you know, he's not wrong. Like, he's pretty much capable of anything he wants to do on the court, and that's an invaluable skill. And while it hasn't been the season so far that I think a lot of Celtics fans expected, I think you're in pretty good shape when you have a guy like that come postseason where if you need a basket, he can go out and get it for you.
Well, I think you are because he's in that place right now where he can get you a basket. He can get a big game. He can go off like a superstar and carry you when you need him to, and he looks healthy, which is also important. Like, all the different things seem to be going well for him and working for him, and he's the player you thought you were getting last year. You know, and that's a component and a piece you're absolutely going to need once you get to the playoffs and you need big shots. And, you know, who do you want the ball in their hands at the end of the game with it on the line? And he's that guy right now, and he's been that guy in the past. And, you know, you want to continue to see that. But, you know, you also just want to see the progression of the rest of the players yeah. and him elevating their games too. And it's good that he can do it right now, and he's going to be able to get through games in the regular season like he did against Philly. Because he can elevate and because he can play that way, it's just going to be, I think, a season-long identity search for this Celtics team as to what they're collectively going to be and completely going to be. And they're still looking for that. Good signs in the last two games with the way that Irving's played, with the fact that they've won after having a couple of clear-the-air meetings, which it seems like was definitely needed after some of the games we've seen in the recent past. So, you know, everything's trending in a really good direction for the Celtics and maybe finally starting to round into what we thought we were going to see at the beginning of the year. But, you know, I still do think also that we're going to see some growing pains with this team or see some moments where they're still sort of figuring things out beyond Kyrie and some of the other, you know, certainties that they have. I mean, we got a phone call in the first hour saying Marcus Morris is one of the big three on the Celtics, for God's sake.
Building block.
I mean, that tells yeah. you right now that they're still searching for it with some of these guys, i.e. Jaylen Brown, i.e. Gordon Hayward. You know, Tatum and Irving are a great place to start, though, and Horford, now that he's starting to get healthy again.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it. Ultimately, when you look at it, nice win yesterday, but you've got Gordon Hayward off the bench, 28 minutes, 5 points. Jaylen Brown off the bench, 20 minutes, 4 points. Like, you know, if you're going to reach the level that we think that the Celtics are capable of, both of those guys are going to have to step it up in the postseason. You talked about the closed-door meeting. So the Celtics get blown out, I think it was Friday night, by the Bucks, and they have a 36-minute closed-door meeting after the game, and then since then they've gone on to win two straight. You know, your time covering the Bruins, like, have there been closed-door meetings? And when, you know, you step back and you look at a team that has a meeting like that, is that something that can springboard a team, or is that generally a sign that there are bigger issues here moving forward?
Yeah, and they happen. You want to be selective about them. You mm-hmm. don't want to have them all the time, because the worst thing you can do is have a closed-door meeting, and then you go out and lose three games yeah. in a row, and then what do you do at that point?
Yeah.
You know, so you got to pick your spots with them, make sure that it's the right time, the right message. you know, exactly everything that you need, the stars sort of aligning for it. But there are times when they're absolutely needed. In fact, the Bruins had a situation like that not too long ago. It happened up in Montreal. I was not with the team, but the reports from the people that were there that they did have a team meeting, and it was after they'd lost against Pittsburgh and against Buffalo. Did not look good in the game at home against Buffalo. Bad defensive mistakes, kind of careless mistakes. The intensity level wasn't up against Buffalo like it should have been, and that's a team that you're fighting with for a playoff spot in your division. So it was, you know, there was some listless play going on in those two games, and you're still sort of at that point trying to get through without Bergeron and Chara and just trying to survive and stay in playoff position. So, you know, there was a meeting up in Montreal. I think it was, you know, designed to get everybody on the same page and get everybody playing the way that they needed to play, yeah, play better defensively, you know, do a lot of the little things right, paying attention to details. And it, lo and behold, they won in Montreal. They won against Anaheim. They won against Nashville. And they started playing the right way. Bergeron comes back, and things are getting good again. So, you know, that was a great moment for Bruce Cassidy, I think, to step up, show some leadership with his leaders out of the lineup, Char and Bergeron. And it was, I think, needed with a young team. That maybe there was a little leadership void with those two guys gone, for the coach to step in and be the leader at that moment. And those have to happen at points during the season. But like I said, you need to be selective, because if you have a big closed doors team meeting and you make a show of it, you talk about it, and then you go out and you're still playing the same way and you're losing games, that's a big sign of trouble.
Yeah, that's when it can kind of get away from it. I mean, you forget, you look at the Celtics. I mean, Jason Tatum his second year, Jaylen Brown in his third year. And I just think, you know, when you look at this roster, and certainly last year, you know, it was almost like people were forced into roles. Kyrie Irving obviously going down, and all of a sudden Jason Tatum needs to be the guy on offense, and it forced him to grow up. And then this year, he's obviously got to take a back seat a little bit to Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving's your go-to guy down the stretch as well. And then not to mention you're trying to work in a Gordon Hayward. Where does Jaylen Brown fit in as well? So, you know, you talk about positionless basketball, but you also need guys to have roles, and I don't think the roles on this team are really defined yet. And Gordon Hayward, I think it's a really tough spot just for Brad Stevens in general, because ultimately, again, if you want the Celtics to kind of reach what they're capable of reaching, Gordon Hayward has to be close to the player he was in Utah. And there's no other way to do that than just continuing to roll him out there and try to get him acclimated to the game. And yeah, there are going to be some growing pains with a guy coming back from an injury like that. So, you know, you're in this tough spot where, yeah, you're trying to win games, but at the same time, you're still trying to bring Gordon Hayward back to full speed.
Well, and keep Jaylen Brown on top of his game, too, and trying to bring him back and get him the minutes and the touches he needs in order to find his game, which clearly has been out of his grasp for the start of this season. And, you know, it's a difficult job for Brad Stevens this year to try to find the ability to fit all these pieces together, get them exactly what they need to get their games going. And I don't know if ultimately you figure out that, like, you're not going to be able to do it. Like, there's no way you can get both of them going and get them at their best and where they need to be. And there's just not enough basketballs. There's not enough court time in order to do that. And, you know, we're going to find out over the course of the season. You would hope that they're going to be able to do that, but, I don't know.
617-779-0985, taking your calls on the Celtics. You know, you look at Jaylen Brown, he's shooting 27% from three this year. He's just been a mess offensively pretty much all season long. And, again, I think it goes to the fact that you're trying to fit all three of those guys, plus a Marcus Morris, into the lineup. And Morris, you would think, would take the back seat to all those guys, but you know, he's been playing really good basketball of late. I'm not saying he's a building block guy like our caller in the
first
hour.
Three.
Yeah,
he's not a member of the big three.
Yeah, we'll go Max with Morris. We'll go Irving. Those are going to be the
this Celtics version of like Robert Parrish or Kevin McHale, right?
Exactly.
One of the smaller of the big three.
Exactly. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, going forward, how it all shakes out. I think ultimately they're going to figure out these roles. And I think the fact, again, that you've got a Kyrie Irving on this team now that can go out and make shots and be a shot maker at the end of the game the way he showed yesterday – in the playoffs, if you have one of those guys, you got a shot.
7 months ago, obviously Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier were, you know, two of the, you know, starting players, the go-to guys, the guys who were bricking up shots in Game 7 against Cleveland. Last night, they were tied for dead last in minutes on the Celtics. It goes to show you how those guys have not adapted to their role and how they really haven't handled the demotions well. I mean, Terry Rozier, we always knew was going to be going back to the bench, and right. I think this was somewhat predictable, but what's happened with Jaylen Brown, I mean, it is just absolutely striking. it kind of really makes you reevaluate what type of player he is. Is he the player that we saw last year? Is he this type of player? Is he something in between? But, you know, let's pump the brakes on the comparisons to Kawhi Leonard here, Green Teamers, because I heard that a lot this summer. That ain't Kawhi Leonard out there, okay? Maybe I'm just a baseball guy, but that ain't Kawhi Leonard.
Well, look, the jump he took from the first year to the second year was kind of like, you could see kind of the path to him getting to be Kawhi Leonard. Clearly, that is not the case. And you go back and you look at that draft, and, you know, that was kind of, I don't want to say it was a reach for Jaylen Brown, but it wasn't expected he was going to go third. And you look at some of the guys that Danny Ainge passed on, Buddy Hield having an unbelievable season with the Kings. I'm not saying those stats would translate, obviously, because there's more mouths to feed in Boston, but a guy that can shoot it the way Buddy Hield can, although it comes out last week that Buddy Hield's actually 37 years old and the Kings didn't know how old he was, but that's classic Sacramento nonetheless. All right, 617-779-0985. Tim McCone, Joe Haggerty in for Zolak and Bertrand. More of your calls coming up next.
The Pats, the Sox, the Bruins, the Celtics, the Reds, the Sports Hub, the website, 98.5thesportshub.com.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zo and Bertrand.
All right, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Tim McCone, Joe Haggerty in for Zolak and Bertrand today. Matt McCarthy on headlines, talking Celtics as Boston pulls out an overtime win over the 76ers yesterday. Kyrie Irving, 40 points in the win, showing off why he's going to be a max player this summer. Let's get to some of your calls, 617-779-0985, and we'll start with Chris in Rhode Island. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was just wondering, like, the Celtics, where do they rank in isolation basketball? Because I seen it with Houston last year where they had a 20-game win streak where they distributed the basketball, right, and they were doing that. But then they proved that you could play isolation as well and be successful because they went on another 20-game winning streak doing isolation. I feel like the Celtics are moving the ball around, and sometimes they do well and sometimes they don't. But if your guys aren't shooting well, then maybe you should isolate more for Kyrie Irving to get more points. Like you know how the Rockets played last year? Like, I'd like to see them play that. Do they have the personnel to do that? Is that why they don't do that? But I don't know. I'm just going to hang up and listen and see what you guys have to say about that. Thank you.
Doesn't Kyrie Irving kind of play isolation basketball? I mean, that seems like when he's at his best or when he's creating, that's really what he's doing. He's isolating, penetrating, and either, you know, taking it to the rack or dishing to an open guy.
I mean, so for me personally, watching basketball, I would much rather have a team game when the ball is moving
totally,
rather than watching
100%.
Isolation basketball.
I wish they could run the picket fence Hoosier style all day long.
I like that. So by outside of Kyrie, I would say that there's probably, I mean, Jason Tatum is a guy that can go out and get his own shot in terms of isolation. Everyone else, I mean, even, you know, Gordon Hayward pre-injury was a guy that relied on pick and rolls to kind of get open and stuff. So, and Jaylen Brown certainly isn't at a level where he can go out and get his own shot either. Marcus Smart, no, not a guy that can go out and do that too. So I think you're looking at a more team concept, but I also think that's something that Brad Stevens looks for as well. It's just nice when you need a basket from a guy. You have someone like Kyrie Irving that can clearly go out and do that and is capable of it. Because even when Isaiah Thomas was the guy here, you know, teams could kind of clamp down on him in the postseason and kind of prevent him from doing it. And so when you don't have that shot maker, you know, you struggle a little bit in the postseason. So it's nice at least that you have Kyrie who, again, just absolutely took over that game yesterday in overtime and down the stretch in regulation. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Mike in Wakefield. Mike, what's up?
Gentlemen, what's going on?
Hey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, listen, you know, basically with the Celtics, there's just too many cooks in the kitchen. And I don't think it'll set a bad precedent if we were to move on from Gordon Hayward, mainly for the fact that there was no intention to move on from this guy when he initially got hurt. I think because he got hurt, because the other guys had to step up and improve their roles, and they proved that they could step up and handle that responsibility, I think that unfortunately Gordon Hayward is just the odd man out. I mean, it just is what it is. The Celtics are going to have to move on from him to bring back that cohesion. And also, Haggerty, just so you know, I know you don't normally do, you know, the on-air stuff. I know you do a lot of appearances, but Sarge sucks on the radio.
There you go. First one of the day right there. When you talk about...
I am aware of the Sarge drama. Thank you very much, Mike, from Wakefield.
What he was actually talking about there in terms of the Gordon Hayward stuff, I mean, what do you make of that? When you look at Gordon Hayward, is that a guy that you think that ultimately the Celtics move on from, even though they signed him to that max level contract?
I mentioned it earlier, and I'll reiterate. I think, you need to show patience with Hayward to see what he becomes, what the full sort of percentage of the player you get back post-injury, you know, how close he can get to 100% of what Gordon Hayward was with the Utah Jazz, the guy that you wanted in the first place, how close he gets back. And you're not going to know that for months. I don't think you're going to know that probably until the springtime and when the playoffs hit. And, you know, he's had a good long stretch to play and to heal from the injury and to regain mental confidence that, you know, he can explode and jump and come down and his ankle's going to be okay and, you know, go through traffic and all that stuff. And the other part of it is, like, you wooed this player. This was, you were a suitor for him. You were a part of a bunch of teams that went after him. You know, it was one of those classic NBA sweepstakes for a player where you went and pitched your best offer and did everything you could with the dog and pony show to get this player. When you do that for a superstar, you tell him he's a part of the big picture. You tell him he's a part of your long-term future. You tell him he's going to be a Boston Celtic for the rest of his career and that you want him to stay here and all this, whatever they did. And then you go around when things get tough for him and you trade him within a couple of years of him getting hurt and you saying all those things to him. I think that sends a message to every other star player in the league that you can't trust what the Boston Celtics are selling and you can't believe them. And if things, you know, get tough for you, they're going to drop you. And other star players won't come here. They'll see that. They'll see what happened with Gordon Hayward, and they'll say, I'm not going there. They could do the same thing to me. I think that in a superstar league, I think you can't do that. Once you start closing the door on the superstars or once they start closing the door on you, you're in trouble, and you're not going to be competitive, and you're not going to be going for a championship in the NBA if you don't have the star players. So I just don't think that's something you can do right now. If next year we're at the same point, Hayward has not gotten back to 100% or anywhere close to it, and it's exactly what we're seeing right now, and he's not the guy that you thought you were getting, I think you need to revisit it. But I think it's way too early to pull the trigger on something like that.
So I think you're 100% right. I think when you look at Gordon Hayward right now, if you were to move on from him, and first of all, I don't think there's any way you could move on from him because who would trade for him right now?
No.
But you look at it, and you're absolutely right. Like, you being a destination place in the NBA, I think would totally change if you were to move on from him, because I don't think you can go out, woo a free agent like that, and then bail on him that short in the season and then not have other superstar players saying, look, why would I be any different when I was joining the Celtics, especially when you look at the history that Gordon Hayward and Brad Stevens have to begin with. So, like, if you can do that to a guy that Brad Stevens coached in college, why would you not do that to me as well? And I
totally think
that's a big thing moving forward for the Boston
Celtics. It's everything in the NBA in a superstar league. I mean, you know, everybody loves the Patriots here. They love the Patriots way. They love team introductions where they come out as a team and all for one, one for all. The NBA is not that.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA is about having star players, having super teams, and collecting as many of them as you can to compete. And if that faucet gets turned off and they decide they don't want to come here anymore, you're done.
I think the other thing to look at, too, and you can't just look at it in a vacuum, because first of all, you know, the Gordon Hayward contract and giving them max money, that offseason was the last offseason that a max deal was going to be available for you, right? So that was really your last chance to go out and get a guy of that caliber. So, yeah, you're going to use it on Gordon Hayward. And the second thing is, I think that move made Boston a lot more attractive for Kyrie Irving and him saying, yeah, if you trade for me, this could be a legitimate place where I could see myself long term. I think if you don't make that move, I'm not sure how legitimate a destination Boston is. I know you had the assets to go get him, but for Kyrie Irving to look at you and say, yeah, that's a place where I could be long term. Now, obviously, since then, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, the year he had last year, have kind of legitimized it even more. But I just think that was kind of the tipping point, and Kyrie Irving probably saying that, you know what, Boston's a destination I could see myself in. 617-779-0985. We're going to step away. We'll continue our calls on the Boston Celtics coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand. It's Tim McCone and Joe Haggerty in for Zoll and Bert Beadle.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh.
right back here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Joe Haggerty, and for Zolak and Bertrand today. We've been talking Celtics. We've been talking Patriots. We've been talking about gifts. What returns would you give for the 2018 season? We're just talking gifts off the air. A gift card for a girlfriend, not a good idea, apparently. Hex.
Not ideal. I wouldn't. I wouldn't go there.
We're gonna workshop that. We're gonna continue.
Do you need to workshop that? Yeah. That's the real question.
Just go to the supermarket, get like the Amazon gift card that has like no personality, no meaning behind it whatsoever.
Yep. Just, maybe a vacuum cleaner, something like that. I think that'd be pretty good, too. Yeah, exactly. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls. Let's talk to Peter and JP. Peter, what's up?
Guys, how you doing? Just 2 points, okay? Gordon Hayward, he's not Gordon Hayward yet.
No.
Okay? He's the best playmaker on the second unit. I mean, Jaylen Brown can't pass. Terry Rozier can't pass. I mean, I like Terry Rozier as an offensive player, but he's not a playmaker. The only playmaker they have on the second unit is Gordon Hayward. Even though he's kind of slow, he's still a great passer. And I have a lot more faith that he's gonna get his shot back. He's a good shooter. Jaylen Brown is shooting like under 30% from the three, and I think he's really cocky. I think he thinks he's a superstar. So, and I think he might be, but I think he needs to change the scenery because he's like the fifth offensive option on the team right now. And even when he drives to the basket, he's only a 60% free throw shooter. And then the other thing is, I wish Kyrie would just shut up, because he comes out and says, we're playing selfish basketball, okay? And then he takes 33 shots. That's not going to go over in the locker room. I mean, Jaylen Brown's going to say, I'm playing selfish basketball, and Kyrie's taking 33 shots. So I love Kyrie, but I wish he'd just shut up. Because, I mean, does that make sense to you? We're a selfish team, and then he takes 33 shots?
Well, I'll say this. Obviously, Kyrie Irving's going to be your go-to guy, for Boston. Mm-hmm. And if he's playing the way he was playing yesterday, I have no issues with him taking 33 shots. Ultimately, I think when you look at the Celtics, like the Jaylen Brown thing, I think he's right on in terms of, I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown both probably came in with, in terms of their expectations for this season, a little cocky to what they've actually accomplished here.
Sure.
The five championship comment that he made to Taylor Rooks in the offseason, that type of stuff. But, I just think when you've got a guy like Kyrie Irving and you've got a superstar player, if he's hot like he was yesterday, he's going to take 33 shots, and that's just kind of the NBA.
I also think Kyrie Irving seems to be one of those guys that kind of loves the sound of his own voice, too, and says a lot of different things. And
you're 100% right with that.
I think there's going to be times where he's probably going to say things that, in retrospect, he would want to take back, or that you can kind of put under a microscope and dissect, where they don't always sound the best or the most team-oriented. But, he is the biggest superstar on this team, I would say. And, I think you got to let Kyrie be Kyrie and do his thing if you want to be your best version of the Boston Celtics. And I think he's going to be fine. He's going to set up other guys. He's going to penetrate. He's going to score. He's going to do his thing. He's going to shoot threes. Like, he'll do everything he can do. It really, for me, comes down to Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at some point in time, I think something comes to a head where you sort of need to decide between the two of them and who's going to play, who's going to get the bulk of the time, who's going to get the shots. Who's going to be the bigger player in this team as far as roles go? And, I get what the caller's saying. Yeah, Gordon Hayward's the playmaker on the second unit. You didn't bring Gordon Hayward in here to be, the playmaker on the second unit.
Right, the microwave off the bench type of thing. That's not what you pay max money for.
No, that is not what he was brought here to do. So, that's fine for right now as he continues to find himself and, get back to what he was before. But, this is a very challenging thing for Brad Stevens, and I think it has been all year. And to go from, a scrappy team that had injuries last year and really went on a run in the playoffs because you maxed out with some of the young guys and what they were able to do, I think that was right in Brad Stevens' wheelhouse. I think dealing with big personalities, dealing with a bunch of players that have high expectations for what they were going to get, trying to fit them all in together in a cohesive unit and get them to all play for each other, it's a much bigger challenge, and it's not exactly, I think, what Stevens' strong suit is. And I think it's pushing him as a coach too. And I think we're seeing all of that now. Do you hope that, you know, maybe these meetings smooth some of that over, and we're starting to see that now? You just wonder when all this stuff is going to crop up again at some point in the future, and whether this is going to be a straight-up trajectory for the rest of the year, or there's going to be more issues of this going forward.
Right. No, I think you're 100% right. X's and O's, certainly a strong point at Butler. I don't think Matt Howard had the NBA superstar personality that he now has to deal with. 617-779-0985. The Jaylen Brown stuff is interesting, though, because if you look at his career, you know, in high school he came out and was a huge recruit for Cal, and everyone said he could shoot. Struggled to shoot the basketball at Cal. Comes in his rookie year, not great. And then last year really improves, and then this year takes a step back as well. So it's just one of those things where, you know, if he is the shooter that we saw flashes of last year, you really have something. But if it's closer to this season, I'm not ultimately sure how valuable a piece he is. But when you're talking about moving on from Jaylen Brown, too, I mean, you couldn't be selling lower right now on Jaylen Brown. 617-779-0985. We've had a couple calls on Gordon Hayward and the potential for trading him. We both said that that's probably not going to be the case, or definitely not going to be the case. Ken agrees with us. Let's go to Ken. Ken, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I think it's absolutely insane to even bring this up, that to get rid of him. I mean, we're barely 30 games into a season after one of the most traumatic injuries we've seen in years, you know, since we saw ad nauseum Paul George. But it's to insert him into the starting lineup was the biggest mistake at the beginning of the year. That was the biggest mistake, and it's prevented him, especially when he was only playing 25, 30 minutes at most, prevented him from gaining any of that chemistry that he needed to get with the group. And even now, when he comes off the bench, they're still rotating players in, so he might get 5 minutes with that second group, but then Stevens brings in two or three substitutions and it kind of, you know, messes things up. But if you look at him, he's in the right place most of the time. He's gaining some of that confidence back, and I just don't think anyone who thought we were going to see the old get Gordon Hayward this year or maybe ever is crazy. I mean, 5 minutes into last year is when it ended. We'll never know how good that team could have been, ever. However, he's going to change his game. He's going to adapt. He's going to evolve. It's going to get better. It's just probably not going to happen until, if we're lucky, March, but probably next year.
All right, thanks for the call, Ken. Appreciate it. I will say this. I think probably the thing that's done Gordon Hayward the most harm in terms of just the way everyone views him is the fact that there was so much chatter last year about, oh, could Gordon Hayward come back at the start, at the end of the season? Could he come back for a playoff run? And clearly, you look at it right now, that was never going to be the case. And I think expectations-wise, you thought, well, once he has a whole summer, if he was close to coming back, he's going to be close to 100%. That also was never going to be the case. Kind of unfair to view it in a way where you thought Gordon Hayward was going to be the player he was in Utah right from the jump. I do think it's going to take time. I honestly thought it was going to be closer to right around now, January, when you're going to start to see it. And you've seen flashes. He had the 30-point game a couple weeks ago too. But I think right now it's not so much physical, it's just psychological. And I don't blame him. I mean, I wouldn't be like too keen on driving to the basket and attacking the rim when I snapped my leg in half 12 months ago. So, I don't know. 617-779-0985. Tim McCone, Joe Haggerty, and Hags, we have a call on the line about a possible Bruins trade. Since we do have you in studio, we'll get to that. Also get your kind of state of the union on the Bruins right now.
All right,
as well.
Some Bruins talk. Let's do it, McCone.
Love it. Right after Hub Headlines here from Matt McCarthy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.